My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to each one of you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How do you cook for cooks? How does a cook cook for cooks? Especially when some of those cooks aren't even just cooks, but they're chefs. They're masters of their trade. How does a preacher preach for preachers? Some of you have dealt with that before in this very chapel, and many of you, my brothers, will in the months and years to come. I've been wrestling with it for the past 2 weeks. How do you preach to preachers? Or furthermore, not even just pastors in sermons and Bible studies, but how do laymen and laywomen cook for cooks? How do you support and encourage your pastor, your spouse, your husband or wife, your friend, your children, who may know more theology than you do? The answer that brought me solace was just to feed them. Christ said to Peter, "Feed my sheep, not cook them a 5-course meal, the likes of which they will never receive again." Feed them. So I pray today that you are fed. Not by me, but by the Spirit. By the risen Christ who employs the tongue of the chief of sinners for the sake of his body, the church. At this point in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 19, the disciples believed in the risen Lord. A lot of emphasis is placed on the fact that the doors were locked, but if we look earlier in the accounts of John and Luke, they knew something was going on. The women had rushed to the empty tomb. Peter and John had stooped in. It says in John believed. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus earlier that day recognized the risen Christ in his breaking of bread with them. Mary Magdalene recognized her Lord as he called her by name. These stories would have been the topic of conversation. I can hardly imagine anything more important. They knew something was going on. Yet when the risen Jesus the Christ appeared in their midst through locked doors, the effect was terrifying. Luke says they were startled and frightened. I can understand why. Here is the risen Jesus Christ, the first truly resurrected from the dead. The disciples had seen Lazarus, but this wasn't quite like Lazarus. Lazarus arose with his clothes still on him. Christ's were folded neatly. He would never need them again. This was something different. The sort of eternal life that this world had not seen since perhaps that first fateful fruit was eaten. Of course they were startled. This is the physical, tangible presence of the resurrected Jesus. And the coolest thing is that we get him too. We get the complete, undivided, two-natured Christ in our midst. However, sometimes I think we forget and we neglect the fact that this is true. We forget the reality of what this resurrection means, of Christ's physical body among us. I know I do. It may not always be a conscious decision, but when we are lazy in getting to worship, be that Sunday mornings or daily chapel, where the risen Lord meets with us in his word, when our private or corporate devotional life suffers, and I know I'm not alone in having experienced that in my 4 years here at seminary, we forget that the risen Christ is with us. When taking communion isn't the highest point of our personal or corporate existence together. And I am the chief of sinners. I suppose it's kind of like this. If you were really wealthy, you could afford a personal chef who day in and day out would prepare for you the finest feasts from around the world. And you and your family would eat 3, maybe 4 meals a day. But eventually, perhaps, you would begin to grumble. And you would begin to complain. And what was once the best, perhaps now only scraps. Does it sound familiar? Sounds like the Israelites. I think it sounds like us as well. I forget and neglect all the time. You probably forget and neglect that Christ is present with us in two natures all the time. We as the church, big C, have largely forgotten the present tense reality of the resurrected Christ. I've had the pleasure for the past couple months, now that my fieldwork studies have kind of subsided, to go to other denominations' worship services. And as some of you might know from your own experiences, I left almost every one of them saying to myself, I didn't receive the present tense Jesus. I didn't receive my present tense gospel. I am still empty and broken. Brothers and sisters, the world needs us. It needs us to be wholly committed to the present tense reality of Christ, and not just the LCMS, but men and women who believe that Jesus is present and active now in our broken hearts and in the midst of his creation. The world needs us because it needs to put its fingers in his hands. It needs to put its hands in his side. It needs to feel Jesus breathe upon them the Holy Spirit. The world needs the physical, present tense Jesus. We worship and pray to and receive not some fantasy novel spirit up in the clouds, but the terrifyingly tangible, physical, holy body of our resurrected Savior. The Lord of creation, who is at once both physically flesh and divinely omnipresent. I remember the first time I learned about this in Professor Bierman's Systems 2 course. It blew my mind. I was raised Lutheran. I went to Concordia, Chicago. I never encountered this before. It blew my mind. That Christ is God and human, two natures conjoined together, crucified together, and risen together forever is incredible. And if that is true, then Christ can start popping up out of anywhere, out of the walls and from behind locked doors. When we receive the body and blood together as a family of faith, we get the whole two-natured Christ. Right now, through the mouth of the chief of sinners, and on that I promise, Christ, the resurrected one, enters your heart physically. Over and over again, the same Christ who has inhabited your heart since your baptism enters anew when you hear the word, when you receive the sacrament. The terrifying presence of Christ within you, it gives you peace. Not a peace that the world can give or that the world even understands. When the world thinks of peace, it thinks of an absence of war, as if North Korea would stop being idiots. Or it thinks of an inner, subjective, free from anxiety state of being. But that's not the peace of God. That's not the peace Christ gives. The peace Christ gives is the peace of the prodigal son. The peace that, in regards to our relationship between God and you, everything is the way it was always supposed to be. Everything is back to normal. And he expects us to give that peace to the world, the peace that can only come from a physical encounter with the resurrected Son of God. I may never write the most amazing sermon you'll ever hear, and I probably can't cook a 5-course meal, but I pray that each of you would be fed, now and always, by good news, by the story. That the bodily resurrected Christ defies logic and reason, science, and even our imagination by making his dwelling in your hearts and in his creation. I don't expect that you're like me, that you've never heard this before, but I pray that today you would cherish it anew. I pray that as a community of faith, he would dwell within us, as he has for years before and many years to come, as we wait together for our own resurrection of our bodies. I pray that having been fed, we would with energy and passion and vigor distribute the physical risen Christ to the world that needs him so desperately. Brothers, as call day approaches, whether it's your vicarage or our first calls, give them Jesus. When you preach, it's like Martin Luther said, when you preach, you put the whole undivided Christ in their hearts so that 1,000 hearts receive no more and one heart receives no less than the whole Christ. Brothers and sisters, as moms or dads, children, as friends, when you read the Word of God, when you tell the story to those you love, you put the whole Jesus in their hearts. I pray that leaving here fed, we would give the real, present tense Jesus to the world. Christ feeds the world through us. Craig Keister says it this way. He's a scholar on the book of John. I have his book because of Dr. Oswald's class. He says that if there is to be a resurrection faith, it must arise from an encounter with the risen Jesus himself. The risen Christ is still active for us, for you and for me, in word and sacrament. And he is active for the world through the witness of us, his disciples, in telling the story. May we be full of hope and joy and peace at the presence of Christ among us as we wait for the day when, like Thomas and the disciples, we see the body of our Lord and our God, who we already believe by faith lives with us, the church. Amen.